Don't stop being you, don't stop being G. Egotistical, mystical, officially. Shuffle my feet to the beat with the heat and the stash. G in the bag with the C on the flag.
We some real OGs, baby. I was getting money in the 80s daily. Niggas like me don't never quit. And I still go hard on a bitch. You bitch.
You gotta tell her what it is, don't play with the game. I love it when you call a bitch out of her name. Don't you dare try to say that home. I know that you like her, but you can't wife her.
I'm going on a tour around the world. Probably fuck a whole bunch of girls. Probably get a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
So can you save some for me?
Man, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. My name is Tariq Nasheed. I am your gracious host. You know how I do. Ready to chop up some good game with the family. Glad to have y'all tuning in. About to make it do what it do. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number to call up to chop up game with me, to let me know what's on your mind. And what we're going to do real quick, family, we're going to take that real quick commercial break. And we'll be right back right after these messages right here on Tariq Elite Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
Have you noticed that men's clothing options these days have become very redundant? Have you grown tired of putting your hard-earned money into clothing brands that lack quality and have no creativity to your style? Well, that can be fixed right now with the brand new clothing line called Intrepid Genius. That clothing line will fill those clothing gaps, and it will have you looking very, very fly in the process. Check out their website right now at intrepidgenius.com. That's I-N-T-R-E-P-I-D, genius.com. Are you an aspiring entrepreneur, but you have difficulties coming up with good ideas? Then check out this amazing new ebook called 50 Business Ideas for Young Black Entrepreneurs. In this guide, you'll learn how to build and promote your own mobile app business. You'll learn how to use social media to promote your business, and you will learn how to write detailed business plans to ensure success. Go to lowcostblackbusiness.com to get started. That's lowcostblackbusiness.com. Yo, check out my man Kevin Gentry and his website, becomerichfamousfast.com. Kevin has a one-on-one private school coaching website, and he will teach you everything you need to know about the game. And you can call him directly at 404-207-5640. Call Kevin up and he will teach you everything you need to know about being a true player and having real, real tight game. So check out becomerichfamousfast.com. Look, everybody, stop what you're doing right now and go to legendarymix.com. If you are a recording artist, if you're a producer, if you simply have a friend that needs help with their music, then this message is for you. Legendary Mix is the number one online mixing and music mastering service on the net. Take advantage of their low-cost, high-quality mixdowns and professional mastering while prices are still low. Clients rate them as number one as the online music service. With over 13 years of production experience, they will deliver top-quality results with great turnaround times. Contact LegendaryMix.com today. Mention Tariq Radio and save 10% off on your first order. Call or text 347-565-5892 or email legendarymix1@gmail.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting Battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You're going to hell, Sandra. Because you're a hoe.
Oh, we are back. This is Tariq Nasheed. Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I hope you got your Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 DVDs. If you don't have it, you're out there bullshitting. You need to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3 if you are not in possession of your copy now. And also, you need to go to Tariq Elite and get that fresh gear, the fresh new Hidden Colors 4 shirts. That's off the chain. But let's get into some ism. Let's get into some game. A lot of stuff we're going to talk about tonight. Let me see. The phone lines are lighting up. A lot of folks on the phone. Yeah, let's see who's on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Yo, Tariq. My name's Shala. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Where are you calling from?
Yo, I'm calling from England, man.
Oh, there you go. What's going on in England?
Same old. You know, trying to destroy these white supremacists. But, you know, it's the same old stuff.
What part of England you in? You over in Brixton?
No, I'm in Manchester.
Oh,
up north.
There you go. So what's on your mind, man?
Listen, Tariq, you know, I've been listening to your Ustream show over the weekend, and you're talking about how Africans are cool. See, I'm an African. I was just calling to explain why most Africans are cool. See,
no, wait, hold on. Before you go into that, I never said all Africans are coons. I never said that.
No. Don't worry. I totally agree. But here's what used to happen. Back in the day, when the missionaries came over to Africa, they started up what's called like mission schools. And in these mission schools, they used to teach Christianity. And they would tell the Africans like, oh, we Europeans are good people. We're just trying to help you guys. And then all these chiefs that are supporting all their like their traditional religions are backward and all that. So most Africans have grown up listening to all that propaganda, basically. So what's happened is all that propaganda they've listened to, they've grown up to think like, oh, these white supremacists are actually really good people.
Right.
They brought us Christianity. They brought all this stuff to help us. Hence why most Africans turn out to be coons, because they believe the propaganda. Most Africans, they've opened their eyes as yet. I'm speaking as an African, basically.
What part of Africa are you from?
I'm from Zambia.
Zambia, okay. Now, that's West Africa. Yeah. That's right on the coast of West Africa.
No. That's Southern Africa. Literally near South Africa, basically, yeah.
Zambia?
Yeah, Zambia, yeah.
It's like between Mozambique and Zimbabwe, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Right there.
Okay. There you go. Now, a lot of our brothers and sisters who go to Western countries, they are, you know, when they come from Africa, a lot of them are almost forced to be on the coon train, especially the women, because the women from East Africa. I had an argument with somebody the other day on Twitter, this East African chick, because she got mad because I said there's a lot of bedwinching coming from a lot of East Africans. And they were like, oh, I'm offended.
That's what they're like, because obviously they're trying to obviously play the game with you know, obviously getting the green card and trying to appease the white people, because they only look as if like, okay, I'm in a white person's country, so I have to like, you know, suck up to the white people rather than, you know, look at history of what they've done to us, basically.
Yes, indeed.
I agree with you. She was a big coon, you know. I was like so disappointed with that.
There you go. Thank you for the call, brother. Okay, I'm trying to make a point, but this brother was going to just keep talking. So let me make my point with him off the phone. I said that a lot of people who come over from East Africa, you notice there's a lot of cooning going on with them and a lot of bedwinching going on, especially with the women. Not all, and I'm not talking about all. And look, I've been to East Africa. The people there are cool, but when it's time to come over here or go to Canada or go to England or any other Western quote-unquote nation, they almost require that you have a coonish bedwinch mentality. And the reason why, somebody in the chat room said the East African chicks are fly. They're beautiful women. They are beautiful. But you notice, if you look at a lot of pretend black feminists over here, I want y'all to notice some. A lot of them have African names. Not that made up, quote-unquote, Quenisha shit. I'm talking about, like, genuine African names, because they are either directly from or they're first-generation Africans who came over, or second generation. They came over or their parents came over. So they're still indoctrinated with the, or they still have somewhat of a connection with the African culture. But you notice, I've noticed this a lot. A lot of these hardcore Negro bedwinches who pretend to be black feminists, a lot of them have these African names, and usually they're East African names, like sometimes Ugandan names or Kenyan names or Ethiopian last names. And when I was doing CNN HLN a few weeks ago, what's that young lady's name? Todit. Her name is Todit something. She's a non-American black female, NBW. And when I was talking about white supremacy, every time I mentioned the word white supremacy, her eyes would start bucking. Now, from what I understand, I think she's Eritrean. So they are staunch defenders of white supremacy. They come over here, and if other black people mention white supremacy, boy, they act like watchdogs. That chick, that was Roland Martin's homegirl that he tried to defend with his little cupcaking ass.
That's my friend. She's good people.
You know, that shit. Yodit Tewolde. That's her name. Somebody in the chat room said that. And there was another pretend black feminist, Wanjuki. I talked about her on this Sunday's U stream. She's a black feminist who was attacking me, a pretend black feminist who was attacking me, trying to defend this white male who wrote a hit piece on me in the Huffington Post. And she jumped up trying to defend him. You trash. With all that goofy bullshit. She's East African. Other East Africans like Kola Boof, who's a well-known pretend black feminist, Negro bedwench, who has explicitly said that black men ain't shit, fuck black men, she loves white men. I mean, she said this. She's East African. And the thing is, in East Africa, you know, they got that female genital mutilation thing. It's heavy out there in certain tribes. And white supremacist feminists, they know how to exploit that for money. Let me tell y'all the hustle. Let me tell y'all the scam on that. So what they do, the white supremacist female fake liberal, they'll go out there to Africa and they'll get a couple of African women and they'll hold them up and do a bunch of photo ops with them and say, hey, look at Umchuke. Umchuke is a victim of female genital mutilation. Send me, the white woman, send me a bunch of money so I can help Umchuke, so I can help her fight female genital mutilation as a woman, women's rights globally. We have to fight for women's rights. These evil African men are trying to cut the genitals of African women. We white women have to come save them, so send us all your money. See, that's the scam. So people send in the money to the white women. They have a photo op with a couple of black tribes girls. And also what they do, they let them know, the East African women, hey, you can come get asylum in Western countries if you fear that you're going to be a victim of female genital mutilation. So a lot of East African women, they come over here through the white feminist. You feel me? They come through the white feminist and they're vetted by the white feminist, and that's how they make them a little money. But always understand this, these African women, no matter how many white men rape you, you ain't getting no money for blaming them or pointing the finger at them. If a white man do something to you, just keep your goddamn mouth shut. But if they come over here and throw black men under the bus, oh, the white feminists, you know, they'll set up a little GoFundMe page and throw them a couple of crumbs. That's how they make their little money. Some of them, they'll come over here, they don't get a lot of money. They get like little nickels and dimes while the white feminists use them and prop them up and get all the millions. They'll break them off $20, $30. A lot of them are happy with the little crumbs that they're getting. They're like, hell, I'm over here. I'm cool. I ain't over here in the village that was decimated by the white supremacists indirectly. And all I have to do is throw American black folks under the bus, which I don't have any kind of sentimental connection with them anyway. So they have no problem doing that. So notice that a lot of those East Africans, they really, I'm not talking about all of them now, because look, I've done lectures and a lot of East African people are cool with me, but a lot of them, when they come over here, they make sure that you're not going to be down with any other black American people. That's why they're real cold towards you. They kind of do their thing. They're very cold-blooded to American black folks. There's no sentimental connection there. And a lot of times, those women go through the white feminists because the white feminists are using them to get money for themselves. So we got to understand that hustle. See, we got to understand chess. We got to understand the chess game that goes out here, that goes on out here. Because black folks, we get lost in the sauce. We believe everything people from the dominant society tell us is face value. We think white is right and we go along with the bullshit. And we got to understand how the long con games that they play, they've been going on for years. And what they do, they tweak and refine their con games and their white supremacist tactics. And one tactic that's an old tactic is the black peril tactic. Now, the black peril, that was a term that they used to describe black men having sex with white women. That goes back to colonial times. That goes, speaking of Africa, that they used that term a lot back in South Africa when it was being colonized. The fear was the whites there were already a minority, so them allowing white women to have sex with black men, that would destroy white society there because they were already a minority, so they had to create an apartheid system to keep the white numbers stable. So that's why they had to create a segregation system there to deprive the Africans of resources, and that system still goes on today. That's the black peril. The black peril was, we're afraid that these black men are going to rape the white women, so we got to beat them and keep them at bay and disenfranchise them. Same thing happened over here. It's the black peril, the Negro peril. That's why over here we kept hearing back during the early Jim Crow era stories about black men raping white women. The first movie, Birth of a Nation, was about the black peril. Was about black men who got power, went around, started to rape white women, and the Klan came to the rescue of white society. See, the movie, the original Birth of a Nation, was a pro-Klan movie. It was about the Ku Klux Klan being heroes. So the black peril used to just be about keeping black men at bay and justifying disenfranchising black society to save black women or save white women from being raped. But now, the white supremacists, they are in a refinement stage and they have a new black peril. The black peril has been updated. So now they don't have to just depend on rape. Even though they still use that, they don't have to depend on that solely. They got other tactics they can use to disenfranchise people by using the white woman. Let me get deep in that. Let me get a couple of calls before I get deep. What's up? Who's calling?
What's up, brother King Flex? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Who is this?
This is Steve from Detroit.
Steve, you sound like a Detroit nigga. You sound like one of my cousins. What's going on, man?
Oh, man, now about this Chris Brown situation, man.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Ridiculous, dog. I've been peeping you out, man. Like, what the heck? Oh, my man, Chris, dog.
Yeah.
Messing around with these bunnies. What's going on with these bunnies over his house, man?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I don't think he was actually messing with old girl. That's the thing. A lot of people are saying, well, Chris Brown should not have had the white women at his house. But that's the thing. Somebody else brought the white girl over there. And Chris was kicking her out, and then she cried foul on him. And I'm gonna get into that in a minute. But thanks for the call, brother.
All right, brother.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So I gotta get deep into that. I'm gonna get deep into that in a minute. We're jumping the gun a little bit. I'm gonna get deep into that in 1 minute because that ties in to the black peril, the new black peril. Because now the white supremacist female, they don't have to just depend on fake rape claims. Now that's still their trump card. That is still their trump card. Like my man, athlete Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose, one of his mistress's side pieces or whatever, is a white chick who's, you know, using the Black Peril game on him now, saying that he forced her into being gang raped, into having threesomes and foursomes with other people. So she's trying to sue him now. See, we got to understand, we are in this refinement stage of white supremacy, and people in the dominant society, they know that they have an advantage over Black people, particularly Black men. And when you have white women out here struggling, when them bills get low and they get a little bit over the hill and they can't get goodies like they used to, they start gravitating towards brothers so they can start making these Black peril claims. They can start making these false rape claims and, oh, I was drug claims. And this brings us to the Chris Brown situation. Now, for those who don't know, yesterday, Chris Brown, singer, he had some people at his house. Somebody brought one particular white girl. I don't know how many they brought over. Now, I was over there by the house the other day. I saw some white girls standing around outside who seemed like they were part of Chris's friend's entourage. I saw a couple of white girls standing around out there. You know, some of those exotic kind of white girls who claim to be mixed with whatever. You know, so I saw an array of different types of folks out there yesterday when I went by there. But this one particular female, her name is Bailey Coran. I think, how old is this chick? Like 35? And the media keeps talking about how she's a model. This woman is a wannabe model. She's a nobody. A chick who didn't really even have a lot of Instagram followers. I mean, she's just a run-of-the-mill, over-the-hill, Hollywood wannabe socialite chick trying to come up. The media keeps referring to her as a beauty queen. She's not a beauty queen no more. Her face is real strong, and I'm not saying that to be mean or facetious, but I mean, you see her doing interviews. She's looking drunk and high, and they keep, oh, this beauty, this blonde beauty queen. Let's stop. So this woman goes to Chris Brown's house. According to her, she said she was in the house with some friends and everything was cool and somebody was there selling jewelry. She said she saw some jewelry. She was admiring it. She touched the jewelry. Then she said one of Chris Brown's friends started arguing with her and yelling at her, telling her don't touch it. Then she said Chris Brown came out and told her to leave, then pulled a gun on her. And then he tried to get her to sign a non-disclosure agreement. She refused. Then she left. And she said somebody in Chris Brown's entourage jumped in a Jeep and they started following her and her friend, and she ran down the street and hid under a Jeep and then called the police. Now, this story sounds like a crock of bullshit, which most likely it is. And after she called the police, they sent a whole SWAT team of police officers and law enforcement to Chris Brown's house. Now, I don't live too far from Chris Brown. There are helicopters all over the place, streets blocked off, SWAT teams, cop cars lining up the block. If you go to my Instagram, I posted footage of me out there. I went out there by the house and I showed all the helicopters in the air. There's 5 or 6 helicopters hovering over the man's house. There's news cameras, a circus posted up across the street. The block littered with cop cars. All of this over an accusation from a white woman. And I, even before I knew she was white, I said, okay, when I saw all this and I heard that there's some female said that Chris Brown pulled a gun, I said, it must have been a white woman. For them to be doing all this, she has to be white. She has to be white. So Chris gets on Instagram. He's like, hey, you know, I'm innocent, didn't do anything. I'm not going outside with all these cops. They need to get a warrant. So Chris stayed in the house, which is the smart thing to do because they were looking for a reason to justify killing that man so they can get a bounty, because they have bounties on black folks now. You kill black people, and if you work in law enforcement as a race soldier, not only will you not get punished, you will get rewarded. You get all types of donation money for killing a black person. That's your come up. See, the black peril offers rewards. So now, the media keeps saying, well, Chris Brown is in a standoff with the police. An hours-long standoff. They're using all of these inflammatory words and terms. They got helicopters and SWAT teams around this man's house. Standoff, I don't know what they mean by standoff. If somebody's in their house waiting on a damn warrant for something they didn't do, I don't know what a standoff is. It's not like he was sitting there armed, pointing guns at police. There were some media reports saying that Chris Brown's people threw out a duffel bag with guns and drugs. They kept feeding that lie to the media. And just for hours, they finally got a warrant. Chris Brown had his lawyer there, Mark Garagos. They took Chris downtown. He got booked. He still has not been formally charged, but he's been booked on suspicion of aggravated assault with a weapon, something like that. And this is what's making me think it's bogus. Now, Chris Brown is a felon, but they did not charge this man with felony gun possession. So this means that they didn't find the gun on the premises. And that whole bullshit about the drugs, obviously there was no drugs. They were lying about that because they would have charged him with a drug possession. So the only thing he got was an aggravated weapons assault charge. So the thing is, this suspected white supremacist female who's over the hill, her name is Bailey. I forgot her last name that fast, but Bailey something. She's one of these suspected white supremacist females who understand how to work the system because the system is in their favor. Black folks, you're going to have to smarten up when you have people in the dominant society around you, especially suspected white supremacists. So a lot of black folks are like, man, don't be messing with them white girls. He wasn't even messing with the white girl. This is what y'all understand. You don't have to, quote unquote, mess with somebody for them to pull a charge on you. Just like with Bill Cosby. Some of the people that were accusing Bill Cosby were people who said they were at a party and Bill brushed up against their breasts. So, whoop, he's guilty of rape. It's that type of shit. So just being in the room with a suspected white supremacist, they still have an advantage over you. They can make up a false claim. Black folks got to get off this thing of, we got to stop messing with certain people. You don't have to mess with them for them to file a claim or charge on you. Look at all the black people who get shot going to Walmart because some suspected white supremacist called up and said, hey, there's a black guy here brandishing a gun. That's part of a game that they play to see how many of you they can get killed. But the thing is, this white girl and most other suspected white supremacists, they know the advantages they have living in a system of white supremacy. Black folks, stop letting people in the dominant society trick you into believing that they don't think that there's a system of white supremacy. It's their job to deny the system of white supremacy because they want to maintain that system. Most people in the dominant society, they are not naive to the system of white supremacy. Bailey Coran, that's her name. People are not naive to the system of white supremacy. That's a con game. They play dumb. This white girl, Bailey Coran, she knew that her word would be believed over Chris Brown's. That's why she targeted Chris Brown. See, the thing is, and I said this the other day, yesterday on Instagram. I said, look, most likely this lady went up in Chris Brown's house.
She was looking for the come up. She went in there for the come up. This woman is known to be around different celebrities. And she can't pull that bullshit with a white celebrity. The white celebrity is going to get the benefit of the doubt. That's why there are dozens of white male celebrities that's been in domestic violence situations, assault situations. Johnny Depp. Oh, shit. Axl Rose. Gary Busey. Christian Slater. Oh, my God. What's that guy who was in Con Air? What's that guy's name? Fuck is that guy's name? Nick something. I can't think of this dude's name to save my life. But there's so many. Charlie Sheen. This dude has been, not only has Charlie Sheen been assaulting chicks and doing drugs and on camera high, he's knowingly giving women allegedly HIV. And I mean, no helicopters and SWAT teams at Charlie Sheen's house ever. Nick Cage, that's his name. Nick Cage was accused of domestic violence. You don't see no helicopters and SWAT teams. When these white males, when they get accused of domestic violence, sometimes repeatedly, all the police, they go out of their way to handle it quietly. They go out of their way to make sure that everything is handled quietly and low key. They'll send an unarmed cop car to the house to talk to the white celebrity. An ununiformed officer. They're real discreet when white celebrities get in assault cases and domestic violence cases. But Chris Brown, just on an accusation, nigga, they sent a SWAT team and helicopters and vans and paddy wagons and all types of shit. And they had people one by one, all the black people who were witnesses. They were like, fuck these niggas. Y'all testimony don't mean shit. White is right. Because they were taking black folks out the house back to back, interviewing them, and everybody said what she said was a lie, but they're like, fuck that. Just like in Ferguson, you had all those black people who said they saw Mike Brown with his hands up saying, hey, you know, he's surrendering. They said, oh, hell no. I don't believe none of you niggas. I believe the white people who weren't here who said that Mike Brown ran through them bullets trying to beat up Darren Wilson. That's who we believe. White is right. And the thing is, this white girl knew going in that she had an advantage. That's why she targeted Chris Brown. See, these white supremacist females, when they target black males, because they know that they can come up and their word will be believed. They're not naive to that. They know any interaction they have with black males, their word is going to be believed no matter how reputable or how rich or how poor the black man is. They know that they have an advantage of them being believed or the system pretending to believe them. Because truth be told, TMZ and all these people, they know this woman is full of shit. The police know that this woman is full of shit. But she's playing her part in the system of white supremacy at targeting a black person. White is always right, even when it's wrong. It's a code thing. They know she's full of shit, but their own code. The system of white supremacy is full of shit. It's not about truth. It's all about dominance. So they'll pretend to go along with her bullshit just so they can keep dominating black folks at will. But the thing is, part of the new black peril outside of rape claims, they got other claims they can make outside of rape to get over on black folks. First, they can use thievery. And when thievery doesn't work, they could use rape. If rape doesn't work, they can use, well, he assaulted me. And if assault doesn't work, well, they can use there was a gun pointed at me. And I feared for my life. And that's exactly what this woman did. First of all, she went in that house. She said there was some jewelry that she was admiring. This woman most likely was trying to steal. She went there for the purpose of stealing some shit. It sounds like she was in there trying to steal. They caught her and told her to get the fuck out. And basically she played the white supremacist trump card. She flipped it and became the victim. They did the same thing with O.J. Simpson. Remember that when O.J. Simpson went to get the stuff that they stole from O.J., He went to get his stuff back, and them white supremacists flipped it on him and said, hey, OJ kidnapped us and threatened us. Now OJ's ass is in jail for however long. That's how the system of white supremacy works. White is right. So this woman most likely got caught stealing. They told her to leave. Now she's thinking, okay, how can I flip this? I can't cry rape because none of these niggas tried to fuck me. Because they probably had younger, flyer women there. So she couldn't use that. She couldn't use where he tried to beat me up. She couldn't do that because there are no bruises. She would have to show some kind of bruise. So the next step is, well, he pulled a gun on me. Now that just happened down in Brazil with that Ryan dude, that Olympic guy. He just told that same lie that he went down in Brazil. Somebody pulled a gun on him and threatened him. That's an old hustle too. Them talking about some black person assaulted them or pulled a gun on them. I just talked about that recently. How in white supremacist culture, that's part of the culture, lying about some black person assaulting them. Let's look at the Chris Brown case realistically. Why would Chris Brown pull a gun on that woman? If he told her to leave, what would be the purpose of him pulling a gun on her? That don't even make sense. Then she said she ran down the street and one of his friends was chasing her. For what? And she, after the incident, this woman ran to TMZ. She called the police came, and then instead of going down to the police department, her ass ran to TMZ, and this woman's been doing interviews nonstop. This woman has been doing interviews nonstop. She's trying to come up. They're going to try to wiggle some kind of payment out of Chris Brown. And the story came out today. This same white woman, she's wanted in New York for theft out there. She stole like somebody's Louis Vuitton purse with $200 in it. So she's wanted in New York for theft. Also, she's a known liar. There's this, another story that came out because she's talking about she's a Miss Regional California beauty pageant winner and she's Miss Southern California this, and she keeps claiming all of these beauty pageant titles. The title that she actually won, they said, well, her crown was taken. She's supposed to get the crown back. We denounced her ass a couple of months ago for some fuck shit she was doing. Another pageant director said, well, I don't know why she's claiming the title to our pageant. She never ran in this pageant. So this woman has a history of lying and trying to come up. She had a GoFundMe page where she was trying to scam some money for some beauty pageant shit. She took that down immediately because she's trying to cover her tracks. So this woman is just, you know, another LA beach bum type of chick who's getting over the hill, and she's using black folks as a come up. That's why black people, you gotta be careful now about bringing around suspected white supremacists, especially brothers. These suspected white supremacist females would get in your mix for the sole purpose of plotting to file some type of black peril claim against you. We got to understand the game. These white supremacists, they're refining their game, and you got these suspected white supremacist females, they are trying to come up. It's nothing for them to try to come up off of us. They're slick as hell. We are their come up. If they are connected to any kind of black person, they'll use that to get their come up on. That reminds me of the situation with my man, Colin Kaepernick. Shout out to Colin Kaepernick. I talked to Colin last night. Colin called me last night, and me and that brother had a real deep conversation, man. Real, real good, solid brother. For those who don't know Colin, he's an NFL player going through some controversy right now because he stood up for his rights by sitting down during the national anthem. He said he's not going to stand for the national anthem while black people are out here getting killed. And there was a lot of pushback from white supremacists for that brother. You had a couple of coon athletes and former athletes speaking out against the brother, like Jerry Rice. He hopped on the Coon train. Tiki Barber, he hopped on that train a little bit. And there was a hashtag last night that came up called Veterans for Kaepernick, which was good. People were supporting him because the white supremacists, their argument was, well, Kaepernick is disrespecting veterans who fought for this country by not standing for this Pledge of Allegiance, which was bullshit. So a lot of veterans came out to support him. A lot of people who are past veterans and now active veterans said, hey, we support his right to stand up for what he believes in. If he doesn't want to pledge, he has the right to not stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance. So there was a great hashtag called Veterans for Kaepernick, where veterans were standing up supporting that brother. And that's the thing. All of us black folks, we got to support brothers like that, because a lot of times when people put themselves out there for us, black folks, we have a bad habit of leaving folks hanging. And then we get mad when every nigga wants to jump on the damn Coon train. Well, the thing is, the Coon train pays. This is what kills me. People say, I mean, these are bitch niggas and fuck niggas, so they're really insignificant, but they'll say, well, man, Tariq, you be doing this pro-black stuff because of the money. What fucking money? Nigga, there ain't no money in standing up for black folks. I don't know where y'all think all that money comes from. Now, I make money from my movies because I'm a film producer. Yeah, I make money from producing products, films and books, and I got other films coming out that ain't got nothing to do with, you know, any type of activism or whatever. But let's stop pretending that there's a whole bunch of money in stepping up for black folks. That's why do you think more people don't do it? Why do you think Colin is really the only athlete who's standing up for black people? Why do you think that? And look at the backlash he's getting and people threatening, you know, to hit up his sponsors. And I mean, let's be real. The money is in the cooning. Even back in the 60s, you had great people like Muhammad Ali. When he stood up for black folks, they were stripping this man of his titles, his money, everything. Ain't no money in stepping up for black folks. That's a labor of fucking love. I don't know where people get that shit from. Even so, you know, I think they get it from white supremacists, because white supremacists always say to me, hey, man, you're race pimping, man, trying to race pimp for some money. Yeah, it must be a lot of money in race pimping. That's white supremacist talk. You're another Al Sharpton. Understand this. Al Sharpton and Jesse and all those people, they don't get their money from black folks. They get their money from shaking down white corporations. That's in politicians. That's where they get their money from. That's where they get their money from. White corporations give them money. It ain't black people. It's a labor of damn love. I don't know where y'all think that all that pro-black money is coming from. So the thing is, we got to support people like Colin, who steps up and stands up on an international level for us. Because that's big, because in sports, everybody watches sports internationally. So for this brother to stand up like that, you know, all eyes on him around the world. And my man, he wants to keep that momentum going. And by the way, he's a big fan of Hidden Colors. Huge fan of Hidden Colors. You know, Colin told me he's been trying to, you know, he shares Hidden Colors with people in the locker room. And the thing is, that's why the white supremacists attacked him. Because the thing is, they don't want other black folks waking up like him. Because when y'all wake up like him, y'all start realizing the power that you have. And you can call shots. And when you wake up, y'all can stop some of these killings that go on in these cities. You understand that? Let me tell you something. And a lot of people made this point. LeBron James out there in Cleveland. LeBron James could have got that damn cop who shot Tamir Rice indicted. Now, he didn't have to, but he could have. LeBron James could have said, hey, I'm not playing another game until this cop is indicted for killing this child. See, that's what those college kids did out there in St. Louis. They said, we ain't gonna play until the president of this college is gone because he's allowing too much white supremacy to happen. And when those athletes stood together, there was money jeopardized. So they got that damn president up out of there. See, the thing is, when you start messing with money and you leverage your power, shit can get changed. You can get a lot of stuff done. You can get a lot of things changed. But a lot of black athletes are afraid to do that. And I understand. I'm not knocking them. I'm not going to say LeBron's a coon. But because the thing is, a lot of black folks, man, y'all, we don't support people like we should support them. See, we get on the same thing. We'll jump on the side of the white supremacists. Like, yeah, you need to stand up. There's so many coons out here talking about calling. Man, yeah, you need to stand up. Man, shut up, nigga. So shout out to Colin. Now, you know what's funny? Now, Colin, he's a biracial brother, which is black, but Colin, his mother, his birth mother, because he's adopted. Colin is adopted. We were talking about this deep last night. He's adopted, and his birth mother, she's on Twitter, and she has in her profile the birth mother of Colin. I'm the birth mother of Colin Kaepernick. So she's bragging about it, but she gave him up for adoption. And she's supporting a lot of these people who are talking about Colin was wrong. She's one of these people who support black folks like Larry Elder, that type of shit. So low key, she looked like she could suspect kind of be a damn white supremacist the way she's talking. But yeah, you know, I asked him about that. I asked him about that birth mother going around saying that, yeah, we all should stand up, all lives matter. She's on that shit. I'm like, dude, I said, what's up with your birth mom, dude? He was like, hey man, I ain't never met that woman in my life. My dude said he ain't. Colin told me he was adopted at like 5 weeks old. No, his birth mother's white. No. Colin's birth mother's white. She's not Arab. No. She's white. And he was like, I never met her before. And he said, look, when I started, you know, getting big, that's when she came out. When I started going to the Super Bowl, when I started, you know, getting, you know, my name out there, then she didn't even come around. She just started making it public that she was my birth mother. She didn't never, you know, he ain't never talked to her before. Trying to get hers in now after she done gave that man up for adoption as a kid, now that he came up in life. Because you know what it is? She probably pulled a Sarah Palin. She was in college, getting it in with the brothers, got knocked up and said, oh no, I ain't about to have no black baby and mess up my white privileges. That's what it sounds like. And now she's sounds like a damn Trump supporter. And I'm not trying to shit on, I know that's my man, he don't know her, but I'm not trying to shit on my brother's birth mother, even though there's no connection there. But damn, I gotta say something about that. The shit she doing is so fucking foul. But yeah, my dude said he ain't got no connection with her, but just trying to make that come up. Again, you see how suspected white supremacists, the females, they'll use us to come up with no shame. It's no shame at all. So the thing is, man, we got to understand the new black peril game, man. These white supremacists will use the fear of rape, the fear of assault, in order to politicize and come up off of us. Like this one Bailey Koran chick, she's about to get with these white feminist groups and get some of that I'm a victim of the black male violence money. Dude, that's why there's a running joke on Twitter now. We're waiting to see when Gloria Allred is going to do that press conference with her, which is going to be coming soon. This woman is about to milk this shit for everything she can. You know, this is their last straw. When they don't come up, when they start pushing 40, they've been trying that model actress thing. Ain't no white dude wiped them up. So now this is their last come up. And unfortunately, they're this type of shit that they pull, it works. That's why they do it. Black folks need to be very aware of the system we live in. And when you bring suspected white supremacists around you, trust and believe many of them are plotting. They come around you with smiles, hugs, and kisses, but understand they live in a system, and they know they live in a system where they can come up off you. That's why you need to always have that in the back of your mind. I'm not shitting on all white people. I'm not saying all white people are white supremacists, but a lot of times we don't know if you are or not. So I'm saying black folks, especially black people of means, if you have people in the dominant society who you don't really know, who you could suspect of being a white supremacist, but you don't know for sure, you need to have cameras in your house. I hope Chris Brown has some cameras in his house so they can release the footage to see what happened. But you need to have nanny cams. You need to have all types of cameras and recording equipment in your house when you have suspected white supremacists around, because you never know when they're going to try to plot on you or lie on you or try to get you caught up in some kind of scheme. You got to think like a hustler. You got to have some kind of footage or dirt on them to keep them in line so they don't try to scam on you. Anyway, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Don't forget to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. Don't forget to go to TariqElite.com to get the brand new Hidden Colors shirts and all that other good stuff. I'm going to holler at you guys on Ustream.